You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And I wonder if Joe Torre and Ben Zobrist had that talk. As you guys know, Zobrist talked for the first time after posting his Instagram the other day about the fact that he is being threatened about using...
Time to wake up, Bruce.
Shoes.
Wake up.
Yes, I'm up. I'm ready to go. And the Instagram said, you know, that he was being threatened with a fine and possible suspension. Zobrist certainly was not talking for a couple days, but he did talk after yesterday's game. And the teammates were in support of him. Steve Cishek, the reliever, wore black shoes yesterday in support of his teammate. And he thinks that there is a bigger picture going on between the Players Association and Major League Baseball.
There's something definitely going on. You know, last year, you know, when we were doing the players, we had all the nicknames and stuff like that. You know, guys wore, you know, whatever they wanted on their shoes, and it turned out awesome. So, you know, MLB gave us full rein to wear whatever we wanted. So they didn't really put any restrictions on us. No one said anything to us this year. A lot of guys ordered their custom spikes, you know, what they wanted to wear to go out there and show on the field and grow the game. And now all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they're dropping, you know, warnings and fines on people. So it's just been interesting, you know, if they want us to work together with them in a lot of situations and then they crunch down on something as small as this, it's just really confusing. Like, I don't know where they're trying to build trust, but yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just been kind of confusing.
Confusing, to say the least. And this goes back, guys, I believe, to the contracts not offered in the off season, and Major League Baseball standing up against the players and the association saying, we want different things, we want more control. And I think that's what Zobrist is getting at when he wants his meeting with Joe Torre that he hopefully had last night. When we'll hear more about it today from him.
We had a texter that said MLB does want Zobrist's shoes to match Joe's hair. And I said, actually, they do. They want 51% Cubs blue on the shoes, and that would go
and
with
the hair.
The midnight blue hair or whatever Joe's sported.
You know, it is interesting that something that seems this small is being blown into a bigger thing. And if taking on Ben Zobrist, of all people, I mean, you know, integrity plus, you know, loved and respected by just about everybody in baseball, it's a strange happening. And I think Major League Baseball picked on the wrong guy, you know, because he said after the game that the support was huge from players and fans on social media coming back to him.
Is this, can't he sue them for ageism? Because a guy should be allowed to wear his orthopedics without Major League Baseball getting involved.
Yeah, I'd be in big trouble, really. I mean,
I'm just saying, those shoes look ridiculous. They'd be doing him a favor.
The black PF Flyers. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the bigger issue is interesting with baseball. The, you know, the way that Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association, was talking about this and other things going on. There seems to be World War III starting between the two sides, even though there's a contract through 2021. So we'll see how it shakes out, but it's a sidebar that I don't believe Major League Baseball wants to take on, because it is about players trying to show some personality and bring young kids more interest in the game.
Last year when they did the signature day where everyone got to do what Cishek said, it's terrific. A lot of them or auctioned them off for charities, and I mean, on every level it worked. My question is, does Quintana need to change his shoes? What's going on?
Yeah, well, he needs to change something, because his ERA is over 16 between pitching against the Atlanta Braves in his two starts. It's just It's been off the chart bad. And, you know, when the Cubs traded arguably the top minor league player in Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, the pitcher, for him last July, they were giving up something they certainly did not want to give up, but they had a depth in player positions. So, therefore, they needed that controllable left-handed starter that they thought they were getting a number three. And this year he's pitched like a five. You know, the numbers just haven't been there. He's had three decent starts. More importantly, the starters over this last stretch, even though they won five in a row before they lost the last two, they are killing the bullpen. Now, the bullpen, if you look at appearances, they have Cishek himself, who's on pace for 80 appearances, and then you have three other guys in that bullpen that are on pace for 70 or more. That's not a sustainable pace for any of these guys. So they clearly need to get more depth in these starts from the starting pitchers.
And speaking of that, we get to see Yu Darvish, and he doesn't start at home. He starts on the road today. And speaking of guys that that are struggling and not and are challenging the bullpen, what is it that you expect to see today? What will be different about Yu Darvish today than was when he was melting down in fifth innings?
I think it's they're hoping he's a more confident pitcher, a guy with a new delivery because of, you know, that delayed leg thing that he did with two hesitations with his leg before he threw is now gone, and they've been working on him getting comfort with that with just the one leg up in the air and then down. So from all indications and all, you know, all the background you do on it, you hope he's just more comfortable with his delivery. I mean, this guy's a seven-year veteran. He's been around for a long time. So we're not talking about a rookie here. We're talking about a veteran pitcher who's trying to fit in with a new group, with new information that comes his way all the time that he wants to be comfortable there. But obviously, he has not been that. And adjusting in the mid-innings is going to be the key. So, you know, three, four innings, he's been pretty good. Getting through the fifth is the key for him. And you're paying a guy $22 million a year to get into the seventh inning and eighth at different times during the season. So that's what they're looking for from him tonight.
Well, we have a texter who sounds like it's Scott Boras texting in. He said, why isn't anyone making the issue that Jake Arrieta performed on the big time on the biggest stages? And that doesn't even go to the fact that he carried every start he had in that second half of the season when he was Bob Gibson-esque. You know, he set the tone for that team and to get to the playoffs. Well, that was Boris's argument, right? You know, he lives in Playoffville. So, you know, the agent was pointing that out. And to this point, has Yu Darvish not been able to perform under the bright lights of Chicago compared to maybe even Texas? And certainly we saw a meltdown in the World Series with the Dodgers.
I think there was a concern going in. You didn't see a lot of activity from the Dodgers or Texas going his way, right? So, I mean, here's a guy that you know, the Dodgers traded for at the end of the year. He did a great job against the Cubs at Wrigley Field, but for the most part, he wasn't very good with them and the Rangers last year. So from all of that, you know, the Cubs were banking on this. You know, he had Tommy John 2.5 years ago. He has a brand new strong arm. It worked perfectly when they did the same thing with John Lackey coming off of his Tommy John 4 years ago. It worked perfectly when they signed him. And they're thinking Darvish is a younger, better version. He does have an outstanding arm. We saw it all in spring training. I mean, he was fantastic against those people. You don't put much credence into that. But you see the two starts against Milwaukee were outstanding as well. You know, six solid innings. That's the very least you expect from him. So, I don't know about the comparisons with Arrieta. I'm not giving 6 years or 5 or 6 years to Arrieta just because of the fact that the velo had dropped, and although he battled his butt off and he was fun to watch, I don't think he wanted to project that for 6 years. They rolled the dice on what they felt was a pitcher with a stronger arm, a better chance of getting the 5 or 6 years out of the deal. I don't argue with that, but you know, the caller is right in the fact that, you know, Jake was a big-time pitcher for the Cubs, never backed away from the ball, showed the ability to pitch even with the velo dropping. I just wouldn't want to gamble on him for 6 years, and I understood it by the Cubs.
The White Sox are also back in action. They are in Pittsburgh, which that team handled them pretty easily. What do you make of their return to action and Ronaldo Lopez? You know, I think Moncada and him have been kind of the bright spots thus far, and Moncada could be back for this one, right?
Yeah, they're hoping to get him back, and that's the key. And, you know, I don't know if anybody even talks about it. You know, the White Sox have missed Avisail Garcia, and
yes,
obviously with Moncada out. You know, those are their two star players. Whether they're stars in the league or not really doesn't matter. They're big elements and big parts of their lineup. So from that perspective, scoring runs has been a tremendous challenge for them since those guys have been out. And Moncada was just, you know, I think starting to show what he's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if he's a 300 hitter, but he looks like he's a guy that can make an awful lot happen, and had a pretty good idea of what the strike zone was. Even though he strikes out, takes a lot of pitches, and with a young player, you really like to see that coming along. You know, he's only 22 years old, so from that perspective, they've missed him a lot. But Lopez is their best pitcher. There's no argument about that. A lot of scouts that I've talked to about him think that he's going to be a two or a three throughout his career. He just goes out there, throws good ball games, throws strikes, has the velocity and the off-speed pitches to make you look bad. So it should be a good start for them. And I think it was an important thing for them to watch Giolito gut through a game that he had no business getting through and winning that game against the Cubs the other day.
That was awful, though. That was awful. It was an awful performance.
It was awful, but it was a W, and the White Sox won that ball game. Mike.
I'm just saying that is, if you pitch like that, I don't care how often you win, you're going to more likely than not wind up back in the minor leagues. That was
Mike, you and every White Sox fan have to know it's player development at the major league level, and it's going to get ugly.
I get it. Davidson, can he play third base? Is it wrong?
Yeah,
much as I like Yomer,
right,
is it wrong that I want to see him more often at third? And it seemed to fuel his hitting the other day.
Well, you know, that's an interesting premise because a lot of guys, you know, throughout the years couldn't do what Frank Thomas did, and that was go to the DH and perform better.
Yeah.
Many guys, as you put it, perform better when they're involved in the whole game. And he's a young guy. I mean, you know, what is he, 27 years old? So maybe you can live with some of his defense over there, which isn't good. It's not for lack of trying. It's the fact that his feet just aren't that good. And if you have slow feet in the major leagues and you're trying to play the infield, it can be rough on you. But the guy brings an awful lot of energy to him. I give him a tremendous amount of credit for changing his approach and using right field the way that he does. If that guy can hit 250, he can hit 35 to 40 home runs easily and drive in 100 for you. So why not, put him out there? But you can always get him out later in games defensively,
right,
and put Sanchez over there. I think Renteria gets caught up in some of these matchups here. You're managing the Hindenburg or the Titanic here on a daily basis. It's not easy.
Wow.
It's not
all the
easy.
Humanity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly.
Wow.
I mean,
Flames or Ice, which one do you want?
How would you like to try to make out that lineup? And that's
fire
with all due respect to the players. A lot of them are extra men that are starting every day for the White Sox.
That's very funny. All right, Bruce. Thank you,
right,
buddy.
Guys.
Thanks,
God
Bruce.
Bless you. That's our guy, Bruce Levine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.